The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
Hey there, I am your host. You are listening to Waking Up in America, and we've been doing dynamic radio dialogues on issues that matter or are beautiful over the last 23 years. So it's a delight to be here with you today, and we had planned something very special for your pleasure. What we had actually planned was to have Gail Ellen call in from Whistler, but we probably, I think I hear her screaming from a snowdrift because we don't have her here at this moment, so not that you could ever substitute for Gail, but I did bring in a gentleman that definitely has to do with beauty, and we'll be talking about that in a minute. If you want to ask a question while we're on the air, send an email to val@wakingupinamerica.com. Well, that's fast. Okay. Bevan sent an email. Okay, thanks, Bevan. I appreciate it. Okay. Today I'm going to invite you to actually light your Olympic torch, light your beauty torch, light your humor torch, light your intelligence torch. You know me, I'm Sidious, Altheus, Fortius. Us old Olympic torchbearers just do not ever give it up. It always moves you on to be reaching for higher, stronger, and more beautiful. Well, that beauty wasn't on the torch, but Larry, we'll have them put it on the next time they do the Olympics. Because
fair enough.
Watching an Olympic champion really is a thing of beauty. Did you see Shaun White? When the, what do we call that thing? The half top? There's a name for it. When they go up and down in a tube.
Oh, the half tunnel, half pipe.
What did you say? Half pipe, did you say?
Half pipe.
Yeah, the half pipe. That voice in the background, I'm going to tantalize you with that. He'll be in there in a minute. Watching him win the half pipe and seeing him go, like, God, Peter, maybe 10 feet higher than the other people?
Yes. He only needed one run.
He won the Olympic gold with one run, and then he decided to better it. So he bettered his gold medal by another gold medal. And what is Peter? Do you know what is he? 21, 22, something like that.
Actually, he's a little older than that because he's participated in three Olympics now.
Oh, very good. So you seem to be pretty up on the Olympics. Do you happen to know about the Chinese couple that won the figure skating?
No, I did not watch that.
Oh, it was awesome. And the story that went with it. I mean, what I like about the Olympics is the Olympic stories are amazing, and what they always contribute to is family, okay? You'll always find out that the Olympic champions had family or friends that supported them in what it was that they were doing. So we have an issue of that, actually. It's not an issue. It's the opportunity to serve. Larry, tell us what your business partner is up to and how much fun we can have with this.
Okay, well, let me tell you first a little bit about the business. It's called Poga Couture, and it's P-O-G-A-H. And he has been an haute couture fashion designer for 12, 15 years. He's from... He's bipartisan.
He's bipartisan
from both Lebanon and Syria, and grew up in Beirut, Damascus. Studied in Paris. He apprenticed with Dominique Sirot. You know,
now who's Dominique Sirot? Because you're probably one of the 50 people that knows.
No.
In my world,
he's a major couturier.
In your world.
And a brilliant, brilliant artisan in the world of haute couture. And I don't know if you know this, but in Paris, actually, to even use the name haute couturier, you have to be licensed.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's not something that you can just pick up a needle and thread and say, oh, I'm an haute couturier. And Ari, you know, my partner, Ari Chameleon, with Poga, is licensed as an haute couturier.
Well, you know, when I went to his website, which is poga.com, would you spell Poga for our listeners?
P-O-G-A-H.
Okay, so pogah.com is where you can actually go right now, and you can be listening, and you can be seeing things on that site. You're going to see some of the most beautiful dresses that you have ever laid eyes on, and not only that, they're in extraordinary circumstances as well. I saw one place, Larry, that was had domed towers that looked like a church or something.
Oh, yeah, that was a major cathedral. I believe it's in Damascus in Syria. And that was one of his early shows. And, you know, one of his dresses is in a museum in Japan for winning the UNESCO awards.
Wow.
And he's now, you can actually see his dress, one of his dresses, on Oscar.com. He's one of the 9 finalists for the 2010 design competition. And, of course, I'm not at all prejudiced or biased, but vote.
I am.
The winners are decided by the public voting, and you can go onto the Oscar.com website, and there are 9 designers, and
he's the first.
Of course, he's the first.
Keep it simple.
Personally, think the best, and you can
right,
vote.
Well, why don't we just stop with that and say, look, we're actually trying to load the deck here in Ari's favor, because we've seen Larry has worked for the work. He helps produce the shows. I've been to the shows. I've always loved Chanel, and I have to tell you, Ari does every bit for me what Chanel used to do for me. So if you love Chanel, you definitely will love what Ari does. And if you don't even know what those things are, do it because we ask you to.
It's not even Chanel. It's Valentino. It's Dior. It's all the true couturiers. The dress that's in the competition right now, which if and when it wins.
It's beautiful.
Will be worn by one of the trophy gold presenters, and then Ari would be interviewed on the red carpet. But that particular dress has over 600 yards of French tulle, all hand-sewn. It's about 3 miles of thread.
How long did it take to make it?
On and off for a year.
Wow. Well, it's spectacularly beautiful, and yet at the same time, I don't want to say the word subdued.
It is.
But you have flames that are in the colors that those are in, how would you describe that? What have you subdued?
Well, the technique is called ruching, and it's all ruched tulle that goes from black to gray to white in a flame pattern, and he calls it his twister dress. And I always say, Dorothy, you're not in Kansas anymore if you're wearing a twister dress. You know.
That's really good fun. So we're sending you to the site, and not only do we want you to go to the site and vote today, we actually want you to vote every day up until March 1st.
That's
because
right.
Because you can actually do that. And so then when you see Ari on the red carpet being interviewed, you can say, you know what, I helped get that guy there.
Exactly.
I helped put him there. And you've been listening to me for 23 years, so I know you'll like it over here. So if you would help our friend and our brilliant friend, our talented friend, get on the red carpet, we could have some fun.
Absolutely.
So, do you think it would be impolite to jam Peter on the radio?
To say what?
To guide Peter to the... I don't want to jam you, Peter. You can vote for the site. You can vote for Ari at the Oscars site. If there's any way you can think of supporting this process so that we could actually put somebody that does a good job on the red carpet, it would be deeply appreciated.
Okay.
So there you go. Now you wonder who this cooperative human being is who's been in the background offering us the Olympic backup that I didn't realize was coming from a man today, thinking that I was going to get all of this from Gail Allen. Gail Allen, bless you on your journey in Vancouver. I know you must be having a terrific time, and we'll see if we can get you on the air for a more complete program in the next couple of weeks. Just thank you so much. It's amazing to be there. It's amazing to watch the Canadians picking up all the gold, so much gold, and all the other countries and the great stories that go with it. But I have got a great story. And Larry, really,
yes.
Good job. And give Ari a hug. And
I will.
We will create something. And if you'd like to hang around and find out more about this light speed learning that we're going to be talking about, it'd be a pleasure. because, Peter, you and I just really connected at the expo, and I do stuff intuitively. You know, it's like I got to where you were, and I just stopped, and I looked around to see what was there, and what was standing there was you and Doug and your bottles of rice, right?
Right.
But when I talked to you more, what I discovered was that you are into light speed learning, and I was wondering if you would let our listeners know more about that. On your business card, it says, "Education is the apprenticeship of life."
And I've been saying that for over 20 years. It's not my saying. I picked that up, and I put it on my emails and on my business cards, and I thoroughly believe that. I've been teaching for many years in many different disciplines. The last discipline that I was teaching in was law. I was teaching constitutional law for about 7 years here in Sacramento, California. And the things that I discovered when you read the law, it's amazing. I mean,
really?
It really changes your life when you understand the law, because you can either fear things or you can stand up to them. Fear, of course, is false expectations appearing real. And when you have that, you don't move forward on certain things. And I'll get into the light speed learning and how I came about that. I should tell you, for the listeners, that I am a two-war combat vet. I was in Vietnam in the 60s and in the Persian Gulf in 1991. I was injured in both wars. I broke my back, and so I've had health issues pretty
wow.
much all from that time forward. But it's not that I'm crippled or anything like that.
No. You get around very well.
I refuse to believe that we're a victim of our circumstances, and instead I take a positive approach. And so when I started learning about this light-speed learning, it was something that I intuitive, like you said, Valerie, that is that you eventually sense something about yourself knows more than what is really being revealed to you.
Totally. And I think it's actually part of what I think it's revealing, Peter, is promises that we made before this lifetime.
Absolutely.
I mean, I used to be very, well, if it's past lives, it's great. And if it isn't, blah, blah, that's fine, too, because some people have no memories of past lives whatsoever, and other people respond to it. But what it gives me is a framework in which to function that allows me to be really comfortable with almost anything that happens.
Well, what is really interesting about this program is that it's been developed over years, and it's been refined.
Eventually,
the program Lightspeed Learning itself is going to be available online. It's being taught right now in a 3-day course for adults. Children seem to pick this up a lot faster because they don't have any blocks on their learning process, and this information can be quantitatively discerned, and what I'm going to tell you is all verifiable. It's by science and that sort of thing. So when we talk about being able to read at the speed of a million words a minute, for most people...
A million? You didn't say a million to me before.
Oh, because most people, when they hear that, they go into cognitive dissonance.
Would you tell us what cognitive dissonance is? I love the word. But
it means I've never heard that before, so I can't believe it. That's really what it means.
Which is kind of the same thing that happens to people when they find out how much they're worth.
Yes.
In the United States of America because of the trust.
Right.
What is it now? 500 million at least each?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
So,
that's because of what was put in place by those in power. And when we learn about those kind of things, it's like, oh, my gosh, I had no idea. What happens for most people, and I'll get around to tying this up with the light-speed learning, how they can get into this, and what's the advantage of having something like this. Typically what happens when people receive new information, they'll say, oh, that's too much information. I can't digest all of that.
Yeah.
Coming too fast. Well, and then the reason is because, let me explain this real briefly for you, and then I can get into more detail. We have two hemispheres in our brain. We have a left brain and a right brain. And the left brain is our analytical side, and our right side is our intuitive side. So we have four wavelengths that we deal with. There's alpha, beta, delta, and theta. Those are the four brain waves, which are measurable in megahertz or in hertz.
And what is a megahertz or a hertz?
Well, what it is, it's a measuring unit that's used for electricity and or anything else. In other words, when you light up a light bulb, there's so many watts and so many hertz and that sort of thing. So those are what you call quantitative measurements. And when you have quantitative measurements, it means no matter what you do, it's always the same. So when you're looking at this, for an example, the to give you a perspective of this, and this can all be researched on the Internet, so it's not like this is, you know, secret information.
No, it's been around a long time, I think since the 40s, hasn't it? 40s
right.
or 50s?
Yes. The actual term is called brainwave entrainment, and entrainment is spelled E-N-T-R-A-I-N-M-E-N-T. So when you do your research on the Internet, you can find that. I would like to give the website for people to
Please do that.
Lightspeed Learning, so that they can verify the information, and they can also test themselves. And this little test is really kind of cool because it's got a picture of a woman in a silhouette, and she moves around. And what happens is when you first look at it, she's moving one direction. And after a while, you look off to the side, and she's moving the other direction. Well, when you're balanced and you're looking from both sides or both hemispheres at the same time, she just flips back and forth. That's where you really ultimately want to be most of the time because you're able to see things.
Okay, where is this thing located?
And remember things.
Where did people find this again?
Okay, the website is www.light, and that's spelled L-I-G-H-T, speed, S-P-E-E-D, hyphen, learning, L-E-A-R-N-I-N-G, .com. So again, lightspeed, hyphen, learning.com. And once they go to that website, you'll see an FAQ. You'll also see something that says test yourself. So when you click on the testing yourself, you'll see a picture of this woman pirating. It's a silhouette. And that is proof, visual proof, that everything is not always what you seem to think it is.
I don't know if you ever saw, I used to have problems with my eyes being in alignment, so that when I was younger.
Yes.
So my eyes weren't lined up properly, and my mom sent me to an optometrist that did a really interesting thing with me, actually demonstrated blind spots. Have you ever seen that exercise?
Yes, I have.
Tell them about the blind spots, because you think you see everything, and you don't.
Well, what happens is, let me go back to what I originally stated, is that we have two hemispheres. And from the left brain, that's the analytical side. And when we're talking to ourselves, we're in the beta mode. The chatter is very high. Let me give you the frequency range. The beta range is anywhere from 14 to 30 hertz. The alpha state is between 8 and 14 hertz. And the theta is between 4 and 8 hertz, and the delta is below 5 hertz. To give you an example of delta or theta, in order to get into the theta, which is one of the lowest, you're looking at someone who can meditate or somebody like a monk who can shut things out, is not distracted by outside noise.
So theta is available to everyone, right?
It's available if you know how to get to it, yes. Young children, when they go to sleep, they typically drop down into theta. When we as adults sleep, we're typically into the delta sleep. It's very refreshing. And if we're woken up before we complete a cycle, which we call REM or a rapid eye movement cycle.
And how long do those cycles run, Peter?
Yes.
No, how long do they run?
Oh.
How long would a cycle be?
A cycle would be 90 minutes.
Okay, very good.
But when you go to sleep, and here's how you can determine what your cycle is, you just program yourself. You just tell yourself, I'm going to wake up after I've had a dream. And what you'll do is you look at the clock. The best way to do this is to have a piece of paper by your clock and just write down the time. So if you go to bed, let's say, at 11 p.m., at approximately 1:30, you'll start not necessarily 90 minutes because everybody's cycle is different. So it'll always pick up wherever it is. And you can make a notation of this by having a clock drawn on a piece of paper. And then you could just make a mark, if you want, instead of writing the time, you can just make a mark as to when you woke up. And this will happen about every 90 minutes throughout the night. So let's say you go to bed at 9 o'clock, or 11 o'clock at night. Your dream cycle may start taking place at maybe 30 minutes later or maybe an hour later. But whenever it is, the next one will be an hour and a half later.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. And you can do this pretty much throughout the night. So what happens for most people is they say, I don't remember my dreams. That's what they say, but everybody dreams. There's no question about that. If we didn't dream, we would be in a deprived state. And that's been proven by waking people up or putting them into solitary confinement and sleep deprivation. That's the number one tool that they use. Instead of, you know, injuring them or hurting them, they do sleep deprivation. And the way they do sleep deprivation is they know when they go to sleep and their eyes start moving, that's when they wake them up. And because the person can't complete that, they will be disoriented.
Huh.
And that's what happens for a lot of us when we get up in the morning and we hit the alarm clock.
Oh, the alarm clock breaks the cycle.
Right, for another 10 minutes or whatever. What happens is we can't get back into that sleep cycle to complete the cycle. We don't have enough time, or there's not enough time. So consequently, what is happening is you wake up and you're groggy. What you should do is once you've completed a sleep cycle and you've had your last dream, that's when you should get up because you'll be completely refreshed and relaxed.
But how are you going to know that?
Because you program yourself for it.
Oh, because you program.
Yeah.
You know, I heard something about this programming. I also heard that for some reason when you start to program your cycle, that it works well to drink a glass of water or to take a sip
Absolutely.
Of water.
Absolutely, and I'll explain that. Now, how you program, let me explain how you program that. Oh, and by the way,
let's stop for a minute and say what the value of programming is before we say the rest of it.
Oh, okay. The value of programming is that you're going to say something to yourself about, you look at the clock, and maybe it's 11 o'clock, and you say, I need to wake up by 6 a.m. You'll wake up by 6 a.m. You won't even need your alarm clock. You can have your alarm clock as a backup just in case you have to go someplace, but you should try this when you don't have an obligation to be at.
I've actually done it.
Yeah, most people, once they learn how to do it, it's a piece of cake.
But once you start programming for time, what else can you program for?
Literally everything. You can program yourself to learn new languages. You can program yourself for success. You can program yourself to where you want to be. You can program yourself for anything because there's no limitation. You're only limited by your imagination.
Well, I was thinking, you know, I have a little sign on my wall in my office that says that we are thought by our thoughts.
Yes.
So whatever thoughts I'm holding, am I going to be altering those in my dreams? I would think so, huh?
Oh, it's part of the process. What happens? Let me get a little more. First, let me explain one thing. For those listeners that really want a more comprehensive about this, I have this all linked on my website, which is theinformationnetwork.com. They can go there and they can see demonstrations and more information on this Lightspeed Learning. The Lightspeed Learning Self program only has a small amount of information on there, but it does have the Test Yourself, which is the spinning lady. But on my website, you'll see more information. There are some videos and other things that are on there just for your edification. Now, to get back to your question, Val, in terms of programming yourself and with the water, here's how that works. So you take a glass of water to bed with you. You lay it down by your bedstead, wherever it is, your dresser, or right next to the clock, or wherever you can reach it. And what you'll want to do is once you have you take a sip of water out of that glass, say in 8 ounces, you take just a sip out of that before you go to sleep. And then once you wake up during the middle of the night, you want to take another sip. And what that'll do, it's called a memory marker. And the memory marker is a reminder of where you were with your sleep. So when you wake up in the morning, if you want to refresh back to one of the first dreams you had, just drink the rest of the water, and it'll bring back the memory.
Huh.
Isn't that cool?
Now, see, I knew the first part, but I didn't know the second.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things in that.
Now, I do something that I call druzzling, okay? And it probably has to do when one of my sleep cycles is interrupted. I, like, go back and finish it.
Yes.
But I never did that formally, and it usually works really well if I'm really warm.
Right. I usually do it, like, and I tell people I can continue a dream from the night before, and they say, how do you do that? I say, because I get back into the mode where I was, and all I have to remember is trigger one incident out of that, it flashes the whole dream back. I mean, sometimes it doesn't make sense, like you're flying or something like that. And for me, it's no big deal. I fly all the time because I've taught myself how to do that.
Well, that's funny that you should say that, because one of the tragedies of my life, until I was 21, I used to fly to Europe all the time. And I also used to do somersaults and things like that. And my mom was worried about me, so she sent me to a psychiatrist. I remember his name was Dr. Gray. How funny now when I think of it. And he informed me that I actually had a Peter Pan complex, and I was refusing to grow up, and then I should surrender flying. So I went home, like, with my wings clipped, right? And that lasted for years until I was in my 30s. And then I read some Carlos Castaneda, and they fly all over the place in Carlos Castaneda.
Oh, yes.
And I renounced Dr. Gray's instructions.
Right.
Back, you know, after I read the Castaneda books. But I have to tell you, I'm capable of more flying than I'm doing. And I know that, you know, there's something in my field that I have to release or something like that, because I'm much more into my dreams than I was a while back, because I really didn't remember them. And I thought I was falling apart and things like that. And I really found out that good nutrition is when I'm eating properly and taking care of myself, I notice that it's easier for me to access my dreams. Do you have any conversation about that?
Absolutely. Part of the healing process is dreaming, so we must have rest and we must know the importance of a balanced life. So here's what happens for a lot of people. They'll go to a doctor, and the doctor will say, you have 6 months to live. You've got cancer. And so what happens is, because you put so much trust in that figure of a doctor, that you'll literally believe that, and you'll get all of your affairs in an order, and somewhere around 6 months later, you will cease to exist on this plane. So people do what other people in authority, like doctors and attorneys and whatever, and they think that their word is God.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, and so exactly what you're saying. Now, you can reverse that. Anyone can reverse that if they know how to do it, and it's reprogramming. It's like saying, now, wait a minute. So your left side of the brain is giving you the analytical, but then you have to rely on what is often referred to as the sixth sense or women's intuition. That's what it's often referred to, but everybody has it. Everybody has the right brain enhancement. And I'll tell you something, how this works. The right brain is subconscious and intuitive. It takes in information quickly and requires no repetition. The left brain is conscious and logical. It takes in information slowly and likes repetition. The fetus develops the right brain first. After birth, the more material it is input into the brain, the more it grows.
Into the left brain. It seems like the left brain would then take over.
It's the left brain is trying to take over.
Yeah, well, I think it's pretty successful for a lot of people on this planet.
By the age of three, circuitry of the child's brain is almost finished. The learning that has taken place is many complex neurological connections. All input finds a place in a catalog and cross-reference with ease.
Well, let me tell you a little secret, because part of the way people are assembled is by the things that occurred for them and whether or not those things cleared their fields or not. So I actually developed a process that I call directed breath, the Kierkegaard method. Larry, are you still on?
I am.
And Larry is... My little Renaissance man here is actually extremely good at doing this process. And what we've been able to do, Peter, is we've actually been able to remove traumas from people, both individually and in groups.
Right.
So that their thought process actually changes, and in that moment, their future actually changes.
That's correct.
I was thinking of the men's group that we were working with, Larry, and how profound that was.
Right,
With the different people that were there. I mean, what was there, five or six of them? They all reached states that they didn't even know could be reached. And I think that a lot of that actually has to do with what Peter's talking about, too, that we have accessibility to that. We're going to be right back. You're going to hear a little bit about diamond alignment, another way to alter your state. I think if you just let yourself feel it as the music plays, you'll be impressed, and then you can go to diamondalignment.com and find out how to have this on your computer all the time. So... just relax and listen, and we'll be right back. We're on the air with Peter Dorsett and Larry Roberts and, wow, Lightning Learning and the Oscars. What more exciting combination could there be?
We live in a world that is more alive with possibility than ever before in history. Yet it is easy to get lost in the confusion and chaos of such an accelerated world. How do we stay connected and aligned with the unlimited potential that lies within us and soar in these exciting yet challenging times? Diamond Alignment, a sacred technology for the 21st century, offers high-speed connection and alignment with this divine power within, both convenient and profound. The 6-minute multi-sensory diamond experience, delivered via the internet, clears your mind, relaxes your body, and creates inner peace no matter what is going on around you. The Diamond Alignment experience effortlessly keeps you charged with joy and equanimity and greater focus and clarity throughout your day. When you experience the expansive energy of Diamond Alignment, you activate the unlimited wealth and potential
there. I love the sound of that. That's actually a divine transmission. And Jacqueline Joy, I applaud you for that. Go to our website at wakingupinamerica.com. Scan down towards the bottom of the page. You'll see the diamond alignment.
Okay.
There. Click on that diamond alignment, and you can. I actually play this tone or transmission on my computer when I'm working in the office, and it really opens up the space and keeps me relaxed. Another one of my favorites, as people have known for years, is the Institute of Occultonomics and Dennis Weaver's Institute that he put together.
Yes.
And that has to do with creating a green planet. And I am now co-hosting a show, Occultonomics in Action, at 6 o'clock Pacific on the Internet. And you can go to occultonomics.org and find out more about what we're up to. I met Neil Donald Walsh, actually, because he was on the board of directors of the Institute of Occultonomics, which is actually ecology and business make perfect partners. Occultonomics, you can put that together however you want, but what it is, it says that you get to have a green planet, and you get to have money, and you get to enjoy what you're doing and take trips through nature and create things that will make a difference for the future. Neil Donald Walsh sends out an email every day, and it's called I Believe God Wants You to Know. And I actually put aside two of them because I find them very appropriate. The one that came out today, I'll tell you that after I tell you the one that came out on the 17th. So, on this day of your life, Valerie, I believe God wants you to know that it is not necessary for you to report everyone's mistakes to them, much less to give them corrections. Leos, I am a Leo. We can do that. So that one hit a chord with me, and I appreciate it, Neil Donald Walsh. Thank you very much. And the other one is... There's a solution to every problem, and I totally believe that because I'm into Einstein, and Einstein says to solve a problem, all you have to do is go to a higher level of consciousness and perceive it differently. And the moment you do that, it really helps. So let's perceive something differently. You want people to participate with you? One of the ways to do that is actually to click in and meet with Stardust. And why would you meet with Stardust? Because Stardust actually has a mailing list of 100,000 really fine quality people. I've kept my businesses rich for years by using these programs with Roy. I think I've been working with him like 6 or 7 years now. So if you give him a call, Roy at Stardust at 828-665-0411. That's 828-665-0411. Tell him that I sent you and that I promised that he would give you a good discount, okay?
Okay.
So make sure that you do that. And then if you need to go to Mexico, and periodically it's just in my blood. And, you know, I think Ari and you and I and some other people should go down to San Pancho, Larry.
Oh.
Because I've got credits at Roberto's Bungalows. And Roberto's Bungalows is a really good place. Okay, it's about two and a half blocks of the beach in San Pancho.
Uh-huh.
It happens to be, when I drive, I'll just put it that way. It's 45 minutes from Puerto Vallarta. Other people would say it's 55 minutes, but as I said, it depends upon your foot. The people are delightful. The town reminds you of the kind of friendliness and safety and freedom that we felt maybe 40, 50 years ago. The telephone number to get these marvelous innkeepers marking down in their book that you're coming is 971-239-4120. That's 971-239-4120. 4120. Institute of Occultonomics, ECOLONOMICS, ecolonomics.org. Check that out. That's the Occultonomics website. Lots of good stuff there. Sign up. They've got a really cool card. It's called Finders Keepers. For $25, which becomes a donation to the Institute, you get your own Finders Keepers card. Now, what does it do for you? It's actually got thousands of dollars of discounts loaded onto it that you can use at fine restaurants and other places. So it's something designed to save you just an incredible pile of money. Okay? And it's $25, so check that out. I think you'll really appreciate it. Now, let's see. I think we should send you back to Oscars.com, don't you, Larry? And we should send them to...
Absolutely. Go to Oscars.com. Check out the competition. There's going to be, after the second, they're going to be interviewing the people, the various designers online. And it's some amazing stuff. And I say, go, Ari, go, Ari.
Go, Ari, go, Ari, go, Ari, go. I can hear Peter considering in the background.
So, go on and check it out and vote for your favorite dress, and it just better be his. That's all I have.
There you go. And if you need more energy while all of this is going on, drink some Monavie because you need to stay up all night to get all of this stuff in. Monavie, I've spent so many nights on the bottle. It's really funny. At first, people thought I was an alcoholic. They did not understand that I needed my energy. So I drink Monavie like religiously, no matter what's going on, and I don't want to do it on the air. I don't want to say bad things because J.J. Version would smack me if I told you. J.J. Mm-hmm. Version is a health expert, okay?
Uh-huh.
And she said that me staying up all night more than once is a crazy, terrible thing to do. Except sometimes you just need to, you know?
Uh-huh.
So I drink Monavie whenever I need to be bad. And J.J., just forgive me because I really do sleep other times. So you can call me at 310-455-8623, and I'd be happy to discuss Monavie with you. But, hey, I think the really important thing is to get as much out of Peter Dorset as we possibly can before our time is up. Because now I've found the pieces that are missing, Peter.
Very good.
You know, like the drinking of the water afterwards when I wake up and the approval of my what I call drizzling.
Right.
That going back to sleep and being warm. I'll tell you, I don't know if this is your experience or not, but I find if I turn on the electric blanket, it actually makes me dream more. Is it screwing up my dreams if I do that, or is...
You don't need to have an electrical field around you. So that would be contributing to some of your challenges.
Okay, very good.
Yeah,
what I do is I actually turn on the electric... It's been so cold at my home. I turn on the electric blanket first, and I warm up the bed, and then I turn off the electric blanket. Am I still caught in the residue?
Yes. Yes, you are.
Dang.
A better way to do that is...
A hot water bottle?
No. Better way to do that is through your mind. And your mind, just by saying, I'm warm, or imagining yourself in a warm spot. I often do this to people. They often see me walking around with a T-shirt where it's cold, and they say, aren't you cold? And I said, I am if I think about it, but I don't think about it. I think about, you know, a warm climate or something, someplace where I was warm, like on the beach of Hawaii or the South Pacific or wherever, that you want to think. If you think cold thoughts or you think that I'm cold or shivering, you're going to be that way.
Well, you know, that's interesting that you say that, because when I was a child, I was invulnerable to the cold.
Right.
I mean, I would be sitting around in shorts when everybody else was in mucklucks.
Right.
And they'd be going, what are you doing? I'd just say, as long as my core is warm,
right,
I'm warm. But you know what I'm also thinking? I've been firewalking a number of times, and I think that complimentary conversation to what you're talking about and the power of the mind and heat, we actually did walk over hot coals. Did you go, Larry? I can't remember.
I was with you at least once.
Uh-huh. So tell our listeners what that experience was.
It was amazing. I mean, we would spend all morning and afternoon in the lecture hall, shall we say, being prepped for it.
Yeah.
While outside the windows, you see these enormous piles of wood that they are prepping into what you think is human sacrifice.
Right.
You know, these long pathways of burning red embers, and you go outside at night, and I don't remember, they had like 20 courses set up or something. It was a large course when we did it. And, you know, somebody at the beginning of each
Did we do it course, at the Insight Center, or did we do it at the airport?
It was Tony Robbins.
Okay, very good. You know, it's really interesting because I don't know if you remember the hypochondriac I had in my private practice in Pasadena. I don't want to use names, but there was one person that was an obvious hypochondriac, and she went firewalking.
Uh-huh.
What do you think would happen to a hypochondriac, Peter or Larry, that would really have to be there to prove something to them?
They have to have the experience.
Okay, so they had to have the experience. But what experience do you think she had?
I think she walked over the coals.
She did walk over coals, but this is the interesting part, because I think it's the fastest way to train people on the planet about the power of your thoughts, okay? Because when the first time I went walking, It was at the Insight Center, and it was, Tony Robbins was $65, so you can tell how many years ago that was.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we're at the Insight Center. They're doing the whole thing with the lumber and stuff like that, the trunks, burning it down. It takes like 4 hours to take the lumber and turn it, or the tree trunks or whatever, and turn it into ashes, really hot ashes and coals. That's about a four-hour process. So we're going, and they're playing, you know, themes from Rocky and things like that, and teaching us to look. What you had to do was you had to stay in your vision and not in your feelings, okay? So you would look, they trained us to look up and to say cool moss. That's what we said to walk over the coals, Peter.
Well, cool, I've got moss. An interesting story for you.
Hang on a minute. So as we did the cool moss and we walked over the coals, when I got to the place where it was my turn, I had noticed that some children had gone first, and I said, well, if the children can do it, I certainly can. And they can tell by your eyes whether you're ready to do it or not. And I started out across the coals, and I got egocentric. I went, oh, wow, I'm the first woman to do this. And immediately my foot started to burn. So I shifted, like, instantly, and I ended up with just a little teeny scorch mark on my left foot by the time I finished this 12-foot walk over the coals. And I saw in an instant that when I shifted my thinking back again, that I was totally able to walk on the coals, but as soon as I burned, the hypochondriac burned one foot and not the other, which I thought was perfect because of the insecurity that she had. She did walk on the coals, but she burned one side and not the other, just a little, just enough so that she knew she could burn. But the other foot proved that she didn't have to. It was the most change-provoking thing in her entire life.
Wow. It was an amazing experience, especially the feel of them and the sound of them crunching through your toes.
You know, one of those walks, I was such an idiot. I used to wear a toe ring, okay?
Uh-huh.
And I totally forgot about it until I was ready to step out into the coals, and I thought, I have a band of metal around my toe. I am going to burn my bloody toe off, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought, stop that thought. And I went, this is fine, and I went, and I did the whole thing, and the toe ring didn't make any difference. So, Peter, I think this really emphasizes and backs up the power of what you're talking about here.
Yes. Over 20 years ago, I worked with a man that taught Tony Robbins how to do the fire walk.
Really?
Oh, really?
His name is Ted Buffington.
Was he the one that did it in the South Pacific or something?
Yes, he also did it on the movies that starred Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner. And Danny DeVito.
What movie was that?
There was like three of them.
There
movies.
Was Jewel of the Nile and
Romancing the Stone.
Yeah, he actually did the firewalk. Ted did the firewalk in the movie.
Wow.
And he taught Tony Robbins how to do that, and I worked with him, and we were putting on firewalk seminars.
Yeah.
Why?
So
do you know Richard Green?
With being able to align yourself in your thinking about this, way before I ever knew about Lightspeed Learning. I had done some Sylvan, which this is the basis for, comes out of Sylvan technology, but I had done the Evelyn Woods reading. Here's the interesting thing. Here's how they measure. Typically a person, an adult, will read between 100 and 250 words a minute, and this is verifiable by taking a book and counting the words and then, okay, and you read it for comprehension. Now what happens is, after a short period of time, like say a day or two, you start losing the information. And by 2 weeks, you pretty much have forgotten everything except maybe a few key elements.
Right.
That's the difference in speed reading versus light speed learning, which is photographing, and you remember forever. That's the big difference.
So how do people, what do you have to do to learn to photograph?
You go through this course, which is a 3-day course, and it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be online shortly, within about the next 6 months. They're developing the software right now so that people can do a home study course and learn how to go at their own pace, because they may get interrupted by a phone call or a relative, or something may happen where they can't just study. When you go to the class, you have what is known as entrainment, and you're not distracted from, you're told to turn your cell phones off, and everyone is present. You're right there. You're learning how this works, and so you're hearing sound. You're seeing light, you're seeing all of this kind of stuff that changes your paradigm for learning. So when you're actually learning something and you can pick up a newspaper and read it in 5 minutes, the whole thing, everything, and you'll remember it. It's different than when you're reading one word at a time. When we're taught in the first grade, in fact, the learning curve that we show, that it goes steeply up from 0 to 5, and then it drops down from 5 to the rest of your life. And that's because we're trained to read one word at a time. And we read, the fastest that anyone can read is 650 words a minute, because that's the fastest anyone can talk. And that's been measured.
Huh.
In this course, we teach, after the first day, you're reading at 25,000 words a minute.
25,000? Did you hear that, Larry?
After the first day. And
yeah,
ramped
yeah,
up
I,
by the time you're
yeah.
finished on the third day. The course itself is about 17 hours. So after the 17 hours, you're at 1 million words a minute. The comprehension rate typically is between 60 and 80%. And then when you get through with this program and you're doing the six exercises that it takes for you to get into peripheral vision and that sort of thing that are real simple, anybody can do it, then you're up to 1 million words. Now, the 1 million words has to be on the Internet because you can't flip the pages that fast.
Huh.
Yeah, it's just absolutely really quick, and it's just zooming. So for people to say, well, I have too much, I get personally 2,600 emails a day, so I have to train myself how to...
2,600 emails a day you do?
I do.
Oh, my Jesus God.
I'm a paralegal, and I've done a lot of legal research, and so there's a lot of those kind of cases and that kind of stuff, but I'm getting away from that. I'm more now into the health and nutrition awareness, and that's where I want to go. I want to reverse age my life, and I'm doing that.
I'm just sitting here being dazzled by the fact that you and I have so many things in common.
Well, people with like mine tend to find each other.
Well, we certainly do, but I'm actually rather impressed with myself for just stopping.
Yes.
Just walking down and just stopping in front of you.
Sometimes that happens. I was a teacher for Dale Carnegie, so I learned, you know, the sales techniques. And one of the things when I was teaching law that I would tell people, and I would invariably say this, whenever you're given an email or a telephone number, you must repeat it. And typically, you need to repeat it at least six times. Now, where did this come from? It came from a man named Joseph Goebbels. Joseph Goebbels was the minister of propaganda for the Nazis. He was 5'3" and 115 pounds. He typically stood on a box because he was so small. But he kept saying, we're a superior race, we're a superior race. And the people believed him because he kept saying it. There was no negative that says we weren't, so the people believed it. What do you think they do with key athletes? They get them into a room before whatever they're doing, and they tell them how powerful they are and everything else, and they don't know any different. And that's how they excel.
Yeah, well, they also excel through family support, I'll tell you.
Yes.
If you
turn off the negative, if you can do that, and when it comes in, it's just like water off your back. It's not a big deal. People can give you criticism, or they can do whatever, and you say, it's not a big deal. That's their paradigm. That's their beta talking, and you don't have to listen to it with your beta talk. You just go on and say, okay.
So tell our listeners what beta talk is.
Okay, beta talk is when you hear yourself talking to yourself. And that's beta talk. You're focused on trying to get the results, because the language is how the beta side or the left side of the brain works.
Well, my beta talk is terrific. And by the way, that's the possibility, Larry, of directed breath. Working with this process, mm-hmm. we can erase the beta talk that's negative. I had a really great teacher, Peter. Her name is Dr. Barbara Biggs. I think she is still with us. And she said something to me that really struck a chord to me. She said, Val, the only person that you're ever going to be talking to for the rest of your life is you.
Right.
I would think it's a really good idea if you try to treat yourself as well as possible. And it was like, maybe out of all the things that she ever told me in all the years that I worked with her, that one landed. And so when I hear myself doing beta talk, I will cancel things. I'll say, that's not true. I'll say something about myself or somebody else, and I'll say, that's not true, cancel. Or sometimes you'll hear something coming out of your mouth, you know, and you don't like what you just said, or you don't even know where it came from. Say, I do not know what just came out of my mouth, but I'm canceling it. That was not what I was trying to say. And you can put yourself right back on course and keep creating without any loss. In fact, people will tend to respect you for it.
Well, one of the keys that we hear when somebody says something to us, like you're fat or whatever,
yeah.
they may say in a negative sense, what we have to learn how to do is, it's what we say to ourselves that gives validation to that. If we say, yeah, I am, or, oh, they know that I'm fat, or whatever, that's giving validation to what they said. So it's not them saying it, it's what you say to yourself that gives the validation to it.
Okay, well, we've got the Biggest Loser program. I watched it a couple of times. What would be the best thing for a person to say that's carrying 200-400 pounds?
The best thing is to create an image of what you really want so that you have a goal that no matter what happens, no matter what anybody says to you, that you're going to persevere and move forward with that because you see yourself, you create an image, and you don't want that image destroyed, regardless of whether, you know, the people that are the closest to our family are the ones that usually destroy our dreams.
Yeah.
Because they have expectations from us that we're supposed to perform in such a way. And they really haven't seen us the way we really are because all they're thinking about is when you were younger, this is the way you were.
Okay, but let's say we have the Biggest Loser on television, okay?
Right.
What would be the best thing that that person could say to themselves? And besides saying that to themselves, how would they, like, walk into using that to create the image?
They have to do what I call in a journalistic sense. My degree in college was in journalism, and I learned the six most important words, and I'll tell you what they are. Who, what, why, where, when, and how. So if you answer those kind of questions, why is this important to you? Why do you want to do that? You know, what do you expect? All these kind of questions, and have them formulate it because you can't put an idea in somebody's head and expect them to be their own.
They don't have access to create it.
Right. It has to come from within. So once it comes from within, they own it. It becomes theirs. And you get a person to, if they understand this part, this is really critical. If they understand what their purpose is, when you ask someone, what is your purpose? And they say, well, what's purpose? Or do I have to have a purpose? They've never been clear on what a purpose is. The people that are focused and are success oriented know what their purpose is. They can state it in one sentence, what your purpose is.
That's terrific.
So if you have someone, the best advice is understand what your purpose is.
Well, we know what our purpose is, don't we, Larry?
Hey.
Our purpose, and we're wrapping up right now, and our purpose is to have you go to Oscar.com, click on the designer section, and go in there and take a look at those beautiful dresses. And if you're undecided or you're really attracted, we'd like to have you vote for Ari because he's our friend and he's fabulous. And I know that I actually went, oh, Larry, do you want me to go over to that site? You know, because you're always thinking you're too busy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And this is for you too, Gail. Larry and I are waving the Chanel flag down here. I steal that from him. He said it early and I loved it. But we are waving the flag for beauty down here. And for me, it's Chanel. And in fact, I wear Chanel. I got Chanel number 5 on right now. It's been my perfume since I was a whippersnapper, first aware of perfumes. So I'm definitely into this conversation, and I'm definitely inviting you to go to Oscar.com. And should we be so bold? Do we just vote for Ari, vote for Ari, vote for Ari, vote for Ari,
vote for Ari?
And notice it sounds like Ferrari. Which is always a good thing and also very beautiful. So
there you go.
Last thing you'd like to say here?
Just it's been great as always to be on your show, and I always learn something, and thank you so much for having me on.
This is wonderful. Okay, Peter. You have like a minute and a half here to deliver your light speed learning methods that remain.
Well, the thing to remember is that you become what you most think about. You move in the direction of your most dominant thought. So if this becomes important to you, take action.
Well, it is important, and we will take action. And he was so effective and so efficient that I'm going to have time to actually tell you this riddle, okay? Because when people say, you know, there may be something wrong with you, and I say there's nothing wrong with me, there is nothing wrong with any of us, and there's a riddle that I want to show you because it seems that children get this riddle really quickly, but adults, sometimes they never get it. It's like 87% of the kids get it, and like 13% of the adults get it. And me, it only took me 2 days to get this riddle, and I want to see if you got it. I told you this riddle already, didn't I, Larry?
Yes, so I'll shut up.
Okay, so you have to be quiet. I'm doing this for Peter. Okay, Peter. So what's greater than God, more evil than the devil, the poor have it, and the rich, how's the rich go? Yeah, the rich and the rich don't need it.
The answer is you.
You're close. You know what I realized that it took after 2 days of going through this?
Mm.
I had to work with this concept. What it takes actually is faith to answer this question, and little children have faith, and that's the point that I actually wanted to make here. So, in your world, Peter, what's greater than God?
Nothing.
Right. And in your world, what do the poor have?
Right, nothing.
And What's more evil than the devil?
Nothing.
Exactly. And the answer is nothing. There's nothing wrong with anyone.
Right.
He did that really good.
And what happens is you create that in your mind, so it all emanates from you. That's why I was cutting that back to a further chase.
No, you did. You got it real fast.
Yeah.
I didn't get it until I read it separately.
Right.
I went to. Oh, there was one more because it came on the internet and it said, "Push after you do this. Push the shift key." And what happens? Nothing.
Right.
Okay, this program has been brought to you by the Golden Hearts Foundation in association with Kirkgaard Media, our radio partners, KoningCompany.com, Mona V, Max GXL, Dr. James Murphy, and Memoriam. Thank you to the team at Voice America, and Mike, you just rock. And to Bent Migan for our theme music, Almost Ordinary People. Invite a friend to listen. Write us at val@wakingupinamerica.com. And remember, Sidious, Altius, Fortius, and thanks to Peter Dorsett, Larry Roberts, and the incredible Ari Shemalian. Go to Oscars.com and vote for this puppy, okay? And thanks for listening.
Thank you.
We're almost ordinary people with extraordinary plans.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time on VoiceAmerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at HeavenIncorporated.com.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaVariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.